You're listening to the Whack Hoops Digest Podcast with Kyle McDonald.
Hey everybody, it's another Wednesday morning. I decided to record a podcast episode. I know I said it on our Twitter account at Whack Hoops Digest that I was going to have to record a podcast episode to talk about the interesting banter going on my Twitter timeline right now. I mean, it's been going on for years. It even has happened earlier this year, but I finally, decided to record a podcast episode instead of just keep tweeting about it. It doesn't do me any good to kind of explain where I'm at. So I just want to make a disclaimer that there's going to be a little bit of a rant coming in this podcast episode. So forgive me, but hopefully you'll stick with it. So last night I put out a tweet that talked about, well, actually it was December 22nd. So that would have been yesterday, right? That said, for those saying the Lopes win over Nevada wasn't impressive or the Lopes aren't good, better hit up at Cam Pomeroy, as despite two straight losses, GCU has gone from 158 in KenPom rankings since the Nevada win to 141 as of Tuesday morning. I got a response to that tweet. I believe it's a New Mexico State fan that said, "Loved watching my adoptive CU Buffs slap GCU around. Hope all the Havocs were brought down to reality last night." So I want to ask, what reality are we talking about here? I don't understand that sentence, because GCU was a 10.5 point underdog coming in to Colorado, who was a top 50 KenPom ranking, was 6-1, and has beat teams by an average of almost 30 points in their five wins prior to Tuesday night. So what reality are Havoc fans in? I mean, the previous two losses to Arizona State and to San Francisco, both in the KenPom top 100, were by combining 4 points. And Arizona State needed a prayer from Remy Martin with like 10 seconds left to play to win the game. GCU actually had that game won, but Martin hit a miracle shot from the corner with Javon Blackshear's hand right in his face to give the Sun Devils the 1 point win. So what reality are we living in that the Havocs are supposed to be living in? Let me give you some stats from last night's game. Colorado won 84-74 in Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. Colorado shot 50%. GCU shot 51% from the field. 3-point shooting, Colorado shot 47%. GCU was 25%. Rebounding, Colorado 20 rebounds. Grand Canyon 33 rebounds. Offensive rebounds, Colorado only had 3. GCU had 11. Assists, Colorado 10, GCU 15. Free throws, which I think are the between free throws and 3-point shooting, because Colorado hit 3 more 3-pointers than GCU did. Colorado was 18 of 21 from the free throw line. GCU was 5 of 8. Ball game. End of story. This was a 1-point ball game with about 5 minutes to go. On 7 of the 9 possessions that GCU had down the stretch in that final 5 minutes, 4 of them were missed shots, 3 of them were turnovers, and they scored on 2 of them. One was an offensive rebound dunk by Sean Miller Moore, and the other one was a free throw by Sean Miller Moore. I mean, they didn't finish the game strong. Simple as that. And now the KenPom rankings, Colorado's at 24. And GCU is at 138. So again, what reality were you thinking that the Havocs were going to be brought down to? Because in all reality, if you didn't watch the game and all you see is the final score, you don't know that GCU actually hung with one of the best teams in America right now. Seriously, here's the margin of victory in Colorado's 6 wins. 23, 18, 36, 42, 23 against Washington, a Pac-12 conference opponent, and then 10. So not only did GCU hang with one of the best teams in the country, they lost by less than all the other teams that Colorado's beat by more than half of that. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to hype up GCU, but give a little credit where credit's due. I mean, you look at it, and Grand Canyon, the last three opponents, Arizona State has a KenPom ranking of 55, San Francisco, 71, Colorado, 24. And before that, Nevada has 130. Outside of Chicago State, who else has a similar schedule to like that? I mean, Tarleton State did. But come on, guys. Like, I get that you hate Grand Canyon. I get it. You know, but give credit where credit's due. If this was New Mexico State that did this, everybody would say, oh, that was great performance, great job. You know, the Aggies are really, really, really good, and they're legit, and this, that. Here's the thing. I'm old school like this. Why not cheer for your whack opponents in non-conference play? Why not be happy that a whack school had a solid performance against a really good Power 6 conference opponent? Like, what is so hard to understand about that? If this was New Mexico or UTEP, I get that you don't want to have any positive things to say about those two schools. They're not in your conference, so who cares about them? What needs to be understood is the WAC needs all teams in the non-conference slate to do well. Think about what wins over San Francisco and Arizona State would have done for the WAC. Not just for GCU, but for the WAC as a whole. Especially with New Mexico State not playing right now. Or California Baptist beating USC on opening night. Like they should have. You know, the last minute and a half got away from the Lancers, and then overtime got away from them. You know, Utah Valley lost late to Wyoming and late at Utah. Think about those wins and what they, like those games, and what they would have done for the WAC had those teams won. You can cheer for Utah Valley against Utah, but you can't be happy when Grand Canyon has a solid performance against Colorado. I'm not saying be their biggest fans ever. But you have to understand that when WAC schools do well, regardless if it's GCU, Utah Valley, California Baptist, Dixie State, even Chicago State, you want to support that. You want to be happy about that because that's making your conference look better. Is it going to be a two-bid league? No, it's never going to be a two-bid league, at least not right now. Maybe when those Texas schools join, if they join, then it possibly could be in the discussion. But it's always going to be a one-bid league. But, you know, there was another reply today. I'm trying to find it. Hold on. There's just been so much action on my Twitter feed. You know, somebody tweeted that any hope that a program outside New Mexico State might improve this league has turned into frustration. Why has it turned into frustration? Without a Grand Canyon, the WAC is even worse off. New Mexico State would be a 16th seed every year. Without 2 years ago, Utah Valley, Grand Canyon, and others, you know, having 20-plus wins, I mean, who knows where the WAC would have been? Like, teams are trying to improve the league. Be happy when they have good performances. Do we want wins? Wins matter. Yes, absolutely. It's all about winning. But on the flip side, against teams, when you're double-digit underdogs, or when people don't think you have any shot in the world to do what teams have done this year in the WAC, that's something to be happy about because teams are playing at a pretty high level considering all the circumstances. I mean, considering that they've had limited practices, some teams have been on pause, see Utah Valley, California Baptist. Games have been canceled. Games have been scheduled on the fly. I mean, come on, guys. Give a little credit where credit's due. Here's the thing. Think about this, okay? Last year at this time, Grand Canyon, for those that want to say that, you know, GCU isn't a lot better, last year at this time, the Lopes had a home loss to a Division II opponent to open the season. Got beat by Illinois at home. Let's see, they were 0-3 to start the season. beat Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Montana State, lost to Valparaiso and Fordham, and then had a home loss against Purdue, Fort Wayne, and then losses against Northern Iowa and New Mexico before starting WAC play with a loss at Cal State Bakersfield. I'm sorry for the rant, you guys. It's just crazy to me that you don't want to give credit where credit's due. I mean, if any other WAC school had a 10-point loss to a Power 6 school that was ranked in the KenPom Top 50, I think we'd all be applauding the performance. But because it's GCU, for whatever reason, some fans can't do that. And it blows my mind. Blows my mind. When CBU lost in overtime at USC, some fans were raving about Rick Croy and the Lancers and how they're going to be better than people thought. You know, Utah Valley loses at Utah, and some tweets come in, Utah Valley looks really good, really strong, and I really like some of their players, and, you know, they're going to be tough. GCU wins, or GCU loses to a higher-ranked team than both Utah and USC, and basically people are cheering that they got thumped. Do you see the irony there? I get that there's opportunity to poke a little fun at your opponents. And for my buddy Mike, GCU-New Mexico State isn't a rivalry yet. GCU has to beat the Aggies a little bit more for that to happen and win the WAC for that to be more of a rivalry. Or to even be, I guess, even use the word rivalry with regard to the two schools. Guys, I'm not trying to hype up GCU. I'm not trying to hype up anybody else. What I'm saying is root for your WAC opponents in their non-conference slates. Cheer for them. You know, be happy when they have good performances as underdogs, and be even happier if they pull off an upset. You know, we have minimal games left in the non-conference slate for teams. Maybe there'll be games scheduled midweek contests, you know, when WAC play begins in a week and in 2 weeks. But, you know, be happy for your WAC opponents. I mean, like I said, maybe I'm old school. Maybe that's just the way it is. You know, in my mind, maybe that's the way I've grown up, is I'm going to cheer for everybody in my, you know, team's conference when they're not playing my team. But when they're playing my team, then I'm going to, you know, hate them forever in that week or that day or whatever. It's just the way it is. You know, unfortunately, you know, I'm not seeing that. You know, some have some kind of sympathy or some kind of, you know, common sense with regard to it. Others don't. That's okay. I'm not saying I'm mad about it. I just don't understand it. And perhaps one day I will. Maybe when we go to WAC Vegas and fans can talk to me about it and tell me, hey, this is why we don't cheer for them, even if they are in a conference. Simple as that, right? Anyways, let's talk a little bit more about this non-conference slate after that rant. I apologize. Last bit of news here. The WAC went 0-7 against Pac-12 teams this year. And who knows if California Baptist or New Mexico State or Utah Valley or somebody else will have an opportunity to play a Pac-12 team, you know, the rest of the season. But California Baptist lost at USC, Seattle lost to UCLA, Washington, and Cal, and then, you know, obviously Grand Canyon lost to Arizona State and Colorado. That kind of stinks, to be honest with you. One win. And the sad thing is, in 4 of the 7 games, WAC teams either led or were within a point with about 5 minutes to go. Think about that. 5 minutes or less to go, I should say, especially in Cal Baptist, you know, situation, and Grand Canyons, who led with like 10 seconds left before Remy Martin hit that crazy three. The WAC is getting better. People don't want to recognize that because New Mexico State keeps winning the WAC, but just because the Aggies keep winning doesn't mean the conference isn't getting better. Does the WAC need to win games like those close ones against the USC or Cal or Arizona State? Yes. But remember, the WAC teams are going to be underdogs in all those games. It's the games that they're not the underdogs or not significant underdogs that they have to win. UTRGV the other night against Sam Houston State needed that win. It didn't happen, you know. And yes, UTRGV is playing without Javon Levi, was playing without Jeff Lecherry, who I don't know is going to play this season, may get a medical redshirt. But they still hung in and made it a game. Lost by three at the, you know, late in the game. But those are the games that need to be won. Utah Valley against Wyoming, Southern Utah. Dixie State against Southern Utah. Those games need to be won. That's what's going to make the WAC better, is winning the games you're supposed to win, and then pulling off upsets. I've said it before this year, and I'm going to say it all the time. Win the games you're supposed to win or should win, and then pull off an upset here and there. Simple as that. You know, Tarleton State went into Texas A&M, nearly upset the Aggies, led for most of the game before the Aggies realized, hey, we got to get to the free throw line, and started pounding the paint, attacking the rim, and got to the free throw line, and that was the difference in that game. There's quality basketball in this conference. Great coaches, good players, athleticism, talent, ability. You know, COVID has created a mess right now, but teams are going to be – it's going to be fun in 2 weeks when conference play begins. All right? Let's hope New Mexico State gets a couple games in before then so we can more understand the Aggies. California Baptist, Utah Valley, hopefully they can get off pause here soon. I mean, Chicago State hasn't been full roster all season, and if they are, who knows what could happen. I'm not saying they're going to win the WAC, but they're going to win some games. Tarleton State's been on pause recently. Dixie State has had games canceled. I mean, there's just so much going on, but the games that have been played have been exciting. We've seen the ability for teams to compete. There's great players in this league. Riley Grigsby, Javon Blackshear Jr., the Twin Towers at GCU, the Twin Towers at Utah Valley with Fardaz Amak and Evan Cole. You know, you still got Johnny McCants, Donnie Tillman, and Jabari Rice, who's out right now, and Clayton Henry, Javon Levi. You know, Sean Ray down at UTRGV is having a tremendous season right now, who was the WAC Player of the Week this week. There's just so much, you know, there. You know, Ty Roel, Trey Armstrong, Reed Nottage, even Gorjok Gak are having a great season for the Lancers. I could go on and on and on. But something to think about. Cheer for your WAC opponents when they're not playing your schools or when they're not in conference play. Cheer for them against non-conference opponents. It's simple. The better the teams do in non-conference play, the better it makes the conference as a whole. And the more attention it draws to the conference, the increase in rankings occur, and, you know, the WAC rises in the sunset. I love this conference. There's so much happening right now, and we've seen exciting basketball be played. Nobody's gotten technically thumped, I guess you could say. Yeah, Seattle had a couple of, you know, losses at Washington and at UCLA that kind of like, you know, those aren't what we've seen out of Seattle all season. But other than that, most of these games against P6 opponents, Power 6 opponents, and games that, you know, WAC teams should win, they've done that. It's only going to get better. We have 2 weeks until conference play starts. Should be a fun one, hoping to be in St. George when New Mexico State, you know, travels to Burns Arena to take on Dixie State in the, you know, WAC opener for the Trailblazers. It's just one of those things. We've set up an Instagram account, so you can follow that at WAC Hoops Digest. We're going to put on some pictures, videos, highlight clips, things like that there. Follow us on Twitter at WAC Hoops Digest. Facebook page is under – all of it's under WAC Hoops Digest. Let's just put it that way. Anyways, thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry for my rant. And have a merry, merry Christmas. I know that may be difficult with the, you know, situation, but enjoy it as much as you can and give your loved ones a hug. And have a Merry Christmas.